Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Dave's Good Vibration Station with Dave Cohen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
What's up, guys? You've just tuned in to Dave's Good Vibration Station here on LATalkRadio.com, world's most listened to internet talk radio station. We's about to blow your mind. Woo! Where we talk about anything and everything to raise your vibration, give you knowledge, offer you wisdom, offer you love, light, compassion, abundance, joy, laughter, and all the high vibrations in the universe. Welcome, I'm your host, Davey. Yeah. And I'm so blessed and so grateful to be given this opportunity to share with you some profound knowledge and wisdom in regards to life, in regards to the human experience. This is what we have dedicated our lives to. And here on the Vibration Station is a platform where we get to reach the masses and speak to them in a way that conveys peace, love, light, positivity, abundance, joy, high vibrations, and laughter for all beings. Because that is exactly what this life is all about. It's about maximizing your potential for greatness, your potential for compassion, your potential for love, your potential for abundance. Speaking about abundance, today's show, we're going to be talking about inflation of the U.S. dollar. Now, I know that here on the Vibration Station, we often talk about ideas that revolve around quantum physics, that revolve around energy, vibration, a lot of spiritual and conscious and actually scientific facets of the human experience. But today, we're going to be talking about something kind of cool. We're going to be talking about how the Federal Reserve and the elitists silently steal purchasing power from the masses, from the lower and the middle class. And even the high class, even, the multi-millionaires and billionaires. If you're not in with it and you're not putting your money in specific asset classes that are going to be on the receiving end of the wealth transfer once our currency, our fiat currency, collapses, then we're going to be entering somewhat of a Great Depression. Now, I don't mean to be the bearer of bad news. I don't mean to be a Debbie Downer. But here's what's happened. If you go onto usdebtclock.org, you're going to be blown away. You're going to be absolutely blown away. You see, on usdebtclock.org, it's straight from the Treasury. And it shows how much debt our country is in. So if you will go on usdebtclock.org right now, oh my goodness, we have passed 20 trillion. We're at 20,201,000, 20,201,403,000 344,800,000 and is climbing by the second. It literally, I mean, if you go on usdebtclock.com, it is climbing by the second. 820, 830, 840, 850,000, 860,000, 870,000, 880. We're going up literally $20,000 a second. Wait, 1,003. We're going up $10,000 of debt a second. Can you believe that? And it's exponential. So it says U.S. national debt is $20.2 trillion, but U.S. total debt is $67.8 trillion. Debt per citizen, $208,000. Debt per family, $817,000. So that means that to get our economy out of debt, it would cost $208,276 per citizen to get our economy out of debt. And that's taking that money and putting it straight to the government. That's like not investing it. That's just, all right, to get us out of debt, we need every single citizen in the United States to pay us $208,000. Now, if you do the math here and you Google search how many people are in the United States, you will find that it is an astonishing number of 323.1 million people and growing living in the United States. So do the math. 323.1 million times 208,000. I don't even know if your calculator will go that many zeros. But the point is, we are in a shit ton of debt. And we're going to dive into how we got into so much debt. People think that it's from borrowing money from other countries. That's actually not necessarily the case, although that does put us in debt. The ways that we get put in debt are by big banks purchasing bonds from the Federal Reserve. If you ever seen the movie The Big Short, they talk a lot about this. And it's actually the exact same thing that's happening in 2008. But instead of a housing crisis, it's become a currency crisis. So in 2008, we had a housing crisis from subprime loans. They were called stated loans. And these loans basically required no documentation. They did not check your tax returns. They did not check your bank statements. They didn't even run your credit. They literally just asked for your information. You could fill out a loan application and bam, you're approved. Here's $500,000. But then when millions of people defaulted on their loans because they were giving out these loans that didn't verify income and people that knew they couldn't pay the $500,000 back with a 7% interest rate or a 5% interest rate or 4% or whatever your interest rate was, these people actually put so much debt into the system. The big banks, by offering these loans, knew the people were going to run to getting these types of loans because no documentation, no verification. So what happened is these big banks offered these loans and they knew that there was going to be a housing crisis. Merrill Lynch and Goldman Sachs were big contributors to this. So they knew that there was going to be a housing bubble. So they knew that all these people were going to go, they were going to get these loans, and they weren't going to be able to pay them back, and they were going to default. Well, what happens when millions of people accumulate billions of dollars, if not trillions of dollars, of debt? Well, the big banks get to go to the Federal Reserve and say, hey, guess what? These people didn't pay their loans back. So we need $1 trillion. So the Federal Reserve says, okay, we'll print up $1 trillion. But then when they print $1 trillion, what does that do to the purchasing power of the money that's already in circulation. It deflates it. It deflates. Now I'm not talking about deflation. What I'm talking about is inflation. And inflation silently deflates purchasing power. So what does that mean? That means that you could go a year, or excuse me, take 10 years ago and then take 50 years ago, right? Let's start with 50 and then we'll run to 10 and then we'll run to today. 50 years ago, a glass bottle of Coca-Cola was like 25 cents, maybe even cheaper. Maybe it was like 5 cents, like 50 years ago. All right. It was better quality because it was in glass. And I'm sure that the contents of the Coca-Cola was better quality as well. I'm sure they used better ingredients. Today, well, let's go 10 years ago. Now, not only is it not in a bottle, but now it's in an aluminum can, and it's like a dollar. All right? Today, a can of Coke is like $1.50, sometimes $1.75, depending on where you're getting it from. Now, I don't drink Coca-Cola, but I just did this. I did this for my own research. And I realized it's not that the price of the product is going up. See, a lot of people think that the price of whatever it is that they're purchasing is going up. That's not what's happening. It's the unit of currency that they're using to pay for it is going down. So you need more units of the exact same currency to purchase the product. So when people are saying, oh, the price of housing is going up, oh, the price of cars are going up, the price of everything, the price of food. Have you gone and you've gone to the market lately? You seen how expensive lemons got? Wow. How did lemons get so expensive? It's ridiculous. I know that there's a lot of, you know, hype on lemons in the health community. There's a lot of doctors that say lemons kill free radicals and do all these super great things, help alkaline the body. But it's not that the price of the lemon or the price of the apple or the price of your chicken has gone up. It's that the purchasing power of the currency has gone down. So what used to be 25 cents is now $1.50 or $1.75. What that means is that $1.75 is actually now only worth 25 cents, what 25 cents used to be. If you look at the real estate market, 30 years ago, man, you could buy a house for 50 grand. You could buy like a nice house for like 50 grand. 50 years ago, you could buy a nice house for like 25 grand. You kidding? 100 years ago, you buy a house for 4 grand. If that. That was like a nice house. Today, that same house that would sell for $4,000 is now selling for $400,000 or $500,000 or even $1 million, right? Depending on the location, depending on the square footage, all that kind of stuff. But what's crazy to me and what I've been pondering lately is, number one, how does this system work? Well, I highly suggest that you go on YouTube and you check out Mike Maloney's Hidden Secrets of Money series. Mike Maloney is a phenomenal investor. He's a gold investor. But along with that, he's an economist, very studied and accredited individual. And he's also all about teaching people how the big banks and the Federal Reserve silently steals purchasing power from the masses, right? So this is some really, really crazy stuff that's going on. And, you know, you always got to think, why are these people doing this? Why are the people in charge choosing to silently steal purchasing power from the masses? Well, it's because that's how they make their money, is through debt, is through operating through a debt-based system. So when they make the money, they then take that money. They're not sitting on a bunch of cash. I mean, they are sitting on a bunch of cash, but their assets are not in cash. They take this fake money that's being printed, and I call it fake money because it's not backed by anything. It's not backed by gold. It's not backed by oil. It's not backed by anything. In 1971, President Nixon took us off the gold standard. He said gold and silver are too valuable to be used as money. Well, if something is too valuable to be used as money, then what's the use of money? Money is supposed to hold value. So they said, okay, let's go on a completely fiat system. We're going to drop the gold standard, and we're going to go on a completely fiat system. I'm going to play this two-minute video by Mike Maloney, and it actually talks about the gold standard. It talks about... It's really interesting. So check this out, guys.
Gold standard is because check this out. Gold standard. It's fiat national currencies that are supposedly backed by some mythical gold that's in a vault somewhere. If we used gold and not... That's the reason I always say gold standards suck. It just opens the door for the whole scam to start again. If we used gold and not a gold standard.
Gold coin standard, I call it.
Well, it can be any form of gold. If you're trading nanograms that are attached to a blockchain, and it's verified that there it is, and that it's got this certain value, and the government can't expand it, it'll work just fine, and there will be this mild, continuous deflation, and we would live in a completely different world. The financial system now, the financial sector is like, what, a quarter of the world's GDP or something like that? It's huge.
Well, it's like 40% in the United States.
And it should be about 2 to 5%. Yeah. And it's this enormous part. And those people don't build anything that we live in. They don't grow anything we eat. They don't create clothes that we wear. They don't improve our lives whatsoever, except the very few of them, the 2 to 5%.
So very interesting stuff, right? Now I'm actually just going to share this with you. This is also Mike Maloney's The Biggest Scam in the History of Mankind. Just check some of this out for a sec. Absolutely mind-blowing stuff.
You are about to learn one of the biggest secrets in the history of the world. It's a secret that has huge effects for everyone who lives on this planet. Most people can feel deep down that something isn't quite right with the world economy, but few know what it is. Gone are the days where a family can survive on just one paycheck. Every day it seems things are more and more out of control, yet only one in a million understand why. You are about to discover the system that is ultimately responsible for most of the inequality in our world today. The powers that be do not want you to know about this, as this system is what has kept them at the top of the financial food chain for the last 100 years. Learning this will change your life because it'll change the choices that you make. If enough people learn it, it'll change the world because it'll change the system. For this is the biggest hidden secret of money. Never in human history have so many been plundered by so few, and it's all accomplished through this, the biggest scam in the history of mankind.
They say that money doesn't grow on trees, but the truth is that the modern banking system creates currency far faster than trees can grow. Most people don't have a clue how currency is created. Economists and bankers make it sound so complex that people think they can't understand it.
Check this out.
But I'm going to strip our monetary system down to its essence so that you can see the scam behind the curtain and just how it affects you.
Woo!
Every modern society creates currency in pretty much the same way. But since the US dollar is the majority of the world's currency, I'm going to use the United States as our example. It all starts when some politician says, "Vote for me and I'll make sure the government provides you more free stuff than my opponent will." But there's no such thing as a free lunch. So to provide that supposedly free stuff, the politicians vote for the country to spend more than its income. This is called deficit spending. To pay for that deficit spending, the Treasury borrows currency by issuing a bond. So what's a bond? If you think about it, a bond is really nothing but a glorified IOU. It's a pretty piece of paper with numbers printed on it that says, loan me $1 trillion today, and I promise over a 10-year period I'm going to pay you back that $1 trillion plus interest. But what you need to understand is that Treasury bonds are our national debt. These glorified IOUs are to be paid back by you and I and our descendants through future taxation. Therefore, when the government issues a bond, it steals prosperity out of the future so that it can spend it today. The Treasury then holds a...
When the Treasury issues a bond, it steals prosperity out of the future so they can spend it today. A bond is a glorified IOU where these big banks say, lend me $1 trillion and I'll pay you back in 10 years. So this money is not backed by anything. It's completely based on people's faith. So they can print as much of it as they want, which inflates the currency, which causes a devaluation of the currency, meaning that the dollar is now worth like a quarter, if that, 10 cents. I mean, this is crazy stuff. Keep listening.
Bond auction, and the world's largest banks show up and compete to buy part of our national debt and make a profit on it by earning interest. You'll notice that as we move through this process, the big banks are there, taking a cut every step of the way. This isn't by chance, as you'll see shortly. Then, through a shell game called open market operations, the banks get to sell some of those bonds to the Federal Reserve at a profit. To pay for the bonds, the Federal Reserve opens up its big old checkbook and writes bad, bogus, counterfeit checks that should bounce because they're drawn on an account that always has a zero balance. There isn't one penny in there. To quote from the Boston Federal Reserve, when you or I write a check, there must be sufficient funds in our account to cover that check. But when the Federal Reserve writes a check, there is no bank deposit on which that check is drawn. When the Federal Reserve writes a check, it is creating money. The Fed then hands those checks to the banks, and at this point, currency springs into existence. The banks then take that currency and buy more bonds at the next Treasury auction. But what is a check? A check is also an IOU. When you write a check, you're making a note that says, here is my IOU for cash. All you have to do is go to the bank and pick it up.
Yep.
Now, it's very, very important that you understand this process, because we're going to come back later and show you the devastating effect this has on you. The Treasury issues IOUs, bonds. The banks then buy those IOUs with currency. The Federal Reserve then writes IOUs, checks, and hands them to the banks in exchange for the Treasury's IOUs, the bonds. And currency is created. So what's really happening is the Federal Reserve and the Treasury are just swapping IOUs, using the banks as middlemen, and abracadabra, presto, currency magically springs into existence. This process repeats and repeats over and over again, enriching the banks and indebting the public by raising the national debt.
Yep.
The end result is that there's a buildup of bonds at the Federal Reserve and currency at the Treasury. This process is also where all paper currency comes from. The Federal Reserve and the government mistakenly call it base money because they didn't watch episode 1 of this series and they don't know the difference between money and currency. But I will correctly refer to it as base currency because it is not money. It is currency, and as we've learned, there is a big difference. Money has to be a store of value and maintain its purchasing power over long periods of time. We learned in episode 1 that earlier in our history, our paper currency was just a claim check. It was a representation for real money of intrinsic value, the gold and silver that was held on deposit at the Treasury. You could walk into any bank and slap your currency, like say a $20 bill, on the counter and redeem it for real money, a $20 gold piece.
Now, you used to be able, before 1971, to take a piece of paper that people call money, which actually is not money, it is currency. The difference between money and currency is currency is an IOU for something of intrinsic value, where money is something that actually holds intrinsic value. So like gold, silver, real estate, oil, these things, all commodities are actually money, if you think about it. Dollars are just currency. There's a big difference. So if you look at, I actually have in my house an old dollar bill from the year 1931. And on this dollar bill, it says at the very bottom of the dollar bill, it says, this is payable in silver to the bearer. Wait, let me get the exact quote. So, dollar bill in, let's see, 19, I'm just going to call it, it's actually called a silver note. So check this out, guys. On the bottom of a silver certificate, I'm sorry, that's what it's called, is a silver certificate. So on the bottom of this silver certificate, which looks exactly the same as a $1 bill, it has George Washington on it. It literally is exactly the same as a dollar bill. The difference is, number one, it says silver certificate at the top of the dollar. And then below the dollar, it says $1. I'm sorry, I'm having a difficult time reading it. $1 payable, $1 in silver payable to the bearer on demand. Meaning that when you take this $1 bill and you give it to the bank, the bearer of the dollar bill gets to receive $1 worth of silver in a silver coin, right? Which was an American Eagle, the silver American Eagles. That's what our U.S. government used as money to back the paper currency. Now that we're off the gold standard, we don't have anything of intrinsic value backing our money, and we haven't since 1971. It's been over 40 years since our currency has been completely fiat, and we have accumulated over $20 trillion worth of debt and a total national debt of $64.8 trillion. Just think about what's going to happen. I mean, it is literally a bubble waiting to burst. A lot of people thought that the bubble was going to burst last year, but now, a lot of people are saying that the bubble is going to burst in, 2018. So there's so much happening behind the scenes of our currency, with our currency, with the printing of our currency, the relationships that the Federal Reserve has with the big banks and the Treasury. And I mean, it's literally the biggest scam in the history of mankind. Our dollars, our paper money, all the $1 bill, $5 bill, $10 bill, $20 bill, $50 bill, $100 bill, they're all fiat currencies. They're not backed by anything. Check this out.
But now, this base currency that's piling up back here is really nothing but a receipt or a claim check on an IOU, that bond. So it's really nothing but a supply of numbers. The Treasury then deposits the newly created currency into the various branches of the government, and the politicians say, hey, thanks for that. And the government does some deficit spending on public works, social programs, and war.
War is big.
Government employees.
War, social, obviously, public works, social spending, and war. War is the biggest reason why there is massive inflation. Because the government goes to the Treasury and says, all right, let's print another $2 trillion to fund this war so we can make helicopters, tanks, guns, military supplies. I mean, in all facets of the military. I mean, you know, you got the Army, you have the military, you have the National Guard, you have the Navy, you have all these facets. Marine Corps, you know, of, and that money is coming from the government. And that's money that we don't have. That's money that's being printed out of thin air, right? And war is actually I believe that there has been artificial wars. I mean, literally wars that have been created artificially for the purpose of needing more money to be injected into society. So when we know that we're going to war, oh, the Fed just lights up the printing presses and you get trillions of billions, if not trillions of dollars that go straight to the government, and then it's all spent. And then the machinery is used for, you know, 10 years, and then they have more high-tech machinery that comes out and all that money went to waste. And it's like, what do they do with all the tanks and what do they do with it all? They're not putting it to use because now there's a bigger and better tank, right? So then they go and they ask more money for that. It's this endless cycle of debt creation. That's why we're literally going $10,000 deeper in debt each and every single second, as recorded and shown on usdebtclock.org. Make sure to check that out.
Tractors and soldiers then deposit their pay in the banks. Now, this may come as a shock to you, but when you deposit your currency with the bank, you're not actually depositing it into an account to be safely held in trust for you. Instead, you're actually loaning the bank your currency.
Yep.
And within certain legal limits, they can do with it pretty much anything they please. This includes gambling in the stock market.
Yep.
And loaning it out.
So they take your money that's in the bank. Let's say you have $1,000. Let's say you have $100,000. Say you have $1,000,000. Let's say you have $10 million. Say you have $100 million. Whatever money, amount of money you have in the bank, the banks take that money that you have in the bank and they loan it out to people and tack on an interest rate. They loan out your money that you work for, and then you so trustingly give it to the banks, but then they take that money and then they loan your money to other people with an interest rate on it, right? So let's say someone gets a $500,000 loan. Well, a $500,000 loan, this is just crazy. If you think about this, okay? I'm going to pull up the mortgage calculator on us.clock.org. Very, very interesting that they actually have a mortgage calculator on us.clock.org. Crazy stuff right here. Crazy stuff. So you go to the bank and you say, I want a loan for $50,000, or I'm sorry, $500,000, or even if it is $50,000, right? On a 5% interest rate, let's just see, we can even use 4% to just show, you know, just as a base. We'll, you know, use 4%. Why not? Make it smaller, just to show you how crazy this entire system is, okay? So you take $500,000 loan and you have a 4% interest rate on that loan. The entire loan is actually going to cost you, so we have $500,000 loan at, call it 30 years, a 30-year loan at a 4% interest rate. You ready for this? That entire loan is going to cost you $860,000. So just because they tacked on a 4% interest rate on money that you put in your bank, they make an extra $360,000 because they tack on an interest rate. But it's your money. It's your money that they're using. It's a pool of everyone's money. And they don't give you anything back for it. What's the return on having like $100,000 in the bank? Like, it's like a dollar every 6 months? I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. It's nonsense. I mean, anybody that understands the basis of creating debt versus creating wealth, you see that an interest rate only creates more debt. And yes, I understand. If you're going to loan someone money, then there should be a fee for loaning that money. If they need $500,000, there should definitely be a fee for you just giving them $500,000. But not in a debt-based system. Not when the system is completely based off of debt, where that $500,000 that they're loaning to you is actually $500,000 that they owe. And your money, your $100,000 that you have in the bank, is being taken and used to loan out to other people, which, first of all, was already loaned to us. So the money that you have was a money that the government got a loan for. And they have these bonds, which is a big IOU. So we have money in our pockets that are just big IOUs. It's just the dollar that you have, the $1,000 you put in the bank, that's all money that has already been loaned. So they take that money and then you give it to the bank and then they loan it out. So it's like a double loan. So they loan out the money that you put in the bank and then they tack an interest rate on it and then they make an extra $360,000 on a $500,000 loan at 4% out of thin air. $360,000. Done. Out of thin air. Check this out.
Profit, of course. Now this is where the machine of currency creation really gets cranking, because this is where something called fractional reserve lending
banks
comes into play.
Banks multiply the numbers.
Fractional reserve lending is exactly what it says. The banks are allowed to reserve only a fraction of your deposit and loan the rest out.
Do you hear that?
Although reserve...
The banks are allowed to only preserve a fraction of your deposit and they loan the rest out. It's called fractional reserve lending. So that means your $100,000 that's in the bank, they only keep a portion. They only keep $20,000 of your $100,000 actually to your name in the bank, and then they take the other $80,000 and they loan it out. But then you say, well, Dave, if that's true, then how is it that when I log into my bank account, I see $100,000? Well, that's because you're not going and you're not liquidating $100,000. Have you ever tried to go to the bank and get $100,000? You ever try to completely liquidate your entire checking or savings account? It takes like 3 weeks for them to get the money. They'll be like, oh, come back in 3 weeks. You have to actually call the banks in advance and say, okay, I want to liquidate $100,000. And they have to order more money in to pay you that money, because your money is not being stored at the banks. They're loaning it out. They don't have it. Does that blow your mind? And they actually have the audacity to take your money, loan it out with an interest rate, and then not tack any extra, not give you any portion of that interest rate. Any. I mean, what, like 0.001? I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Ratios may vary. I'm going to use a 10% reserve ratio as our example. If you deposit $100 in your account, the bank can legally take $90 of it and loan it out without telling you. The bank must hold $10 of your deposit in reserve just in case you want some of it. These reserves are called vault cash. But why does your bank account still say you have $100 if the bank has stolen $90 of it? Because the bank left IOUs it created, called bank credit, in its place.
Yep.
Now, I know this sounds crazy, but here it is in black and white from the Fed. Commercial banks create checkbook money when they grant a loan simply by adding new deposit dollars in accounts on their books in exchange for a borrower's IOU. These are nothing but numbers that the banks type into their computers.
It's literally like you're taking your time. You spend your life working and providing. And these people that are the puppet masters at the top of the chain, you know, they're the ones in the eye of the pyramid, you know, the disconnected, you know, on the back of the dollar bill, you have the pyramid, and then the top of the pyramid that's disconnected from the rest of the pyramid, then there's an eye. Those homies are the eye. Those guys are the very tip top of the pyramid that are manipulating the rest of the pyramid, that are manipulating the rest of the masses. So they take your money, they loan out 90% of it, and then they keep 10% just in case you want some of it, because they know that you're not going to go and liquidate your entire saving or your entire checking, because they know that that's what the masses just do. Well, you keep your money in the bank. You just put your money in the bank. Okay? So you put your money in the bank, and then you come, you get your 10%, the 10% is there. But what happens when you want 20%? What happens when you want 50%? What happens when you want 100% of the money in your bank? Well, they have these IOUs, these bank check IOUs. It's not even your money. It's more money that's been loaned out. And then it takes them a couple weeks to get it. So you call it. It's just crazy. So they type in more money. They type in numbers in their computer and they say, okay, we have a deposit of $100. The available credit from that $100 is 90. There's a fractional reserve ratio of 10%. So we need to have 90% of just-in-case IOU money. It's fucking crazy.
And even though these bank credit IOU numbers are very different from base currency numbers, because they only exist in computers, they are still currency. So now there is $190 in existence.
Right.
Now, the reason people take out loans from the banks is to buy something. They're going to buy a house or a car or something like that. So the borrower takes the $90 that the bank loaned to him from your account, and he pays the seller of the item. But then the seller deposits that currency into his account, and his bank loans out 90% of that and leaves bank credit numbers in its place. So now there's $271 in existence. This process repeats and repeats until under a 10% reserve ratio, an initial deposit of just $100 can create up to $1,000 of bank credit, all backed by $100 of vault cash, just 10%. But as I said, reserve ratios vary wildly. On some deposits, it's 10%, on others, it's 3%, and on some forms of deposits, reserve requirements are zero. The result is that the expansion of the currency supply by the banks is far greater than even this example would lead you to believe. So once again, when currency is deposited in the banks get to lend it out, and then it gets redeposited and relent, redeposited and relent, redeposited and relent over and over again, creating bank credit all the way. This is where the vast majority of our currency supply comes from. In fact, 92 to 96% of all currency in existence is created not by the government, but here in the banking system.
By the banks.
Now, massive amounts of currency spewing into society may at first sound like a fun idea. That is, until you remember one of the most important hidden secrets of money from episode 1, that the prices of everyday goods and services act as a sponge on an expanding currency supply.
Right.
The more currency we have, the more prices rise. This is where inflation comes from. The true definition of inflation is an expansion of the currency supply. Rising prices are merely the symptom. So our entire currency supply is nothing but a couple of bucks whipped up in this hocus-pocus scam where the Treasury and the Federal Reserve swap glorified IOUs, and a bunch of numbers that the banks just type into their computers. That's it. That's our entire currency supply. It's nothing but a supply of numbers, some of them printed, most of them typed, and there is nothing else. But if you thought that was crazy, get ready to enter the twilight zone of modern economics. We work for some of that currency.
Yes,
supply.
This is where
true wealth is
it
your
pisses
time.
Me off.
See, but we trade away moments.
This is where it pisses me off. He just said it. True wealth is your time. So we go and we slave away every day, 8 hours a day, 5 to 6, sometimes 7 days a week for this money that's literally created out of thin air and is being devalued because of the banking system and the treasury and the way that the elitists have this whole system set up to silently steal purchasing power through devaluing the currency. It is the biggest scam in the history of mankind.
Of our lives, hour by hour, day by day, and year by year, for numbers that somebody printed on pieces of paper or just typed into a computer. Now those numbers represent our blood, sweat, tears, labor, ideas, and talent. We are what gives the currency its value.
Right there.
But here comes...
We are what gives the currency its value. Our faith. We are what gives the currency its value. It's our time that gives the currency its value.
Here comes the really cruel joke. We work hard so that we can save some of that currency, so that we can pay the tax collector in the United States, it's known as the IRS. They then turn it over to the Treasury so that the Treasury can pay the principal plus interest on that bond that the Federal Reserve bought with a check drawn on an account that has nothing in it.
Wow. Wow.
Now let's do a recap on this section, because this is where the system begins to rob you and I on a massive scale. Much of our taxes are not used for schools, roads, and public services, but to pay interest on bonds that the Federal Reserve bought with a check drawn on an account that has nothing in it. The Federal Reserve is committing fraud. But here's one of the biggest secrets of them all. Before the establishment of the Federal Reserve, there was no need for personal income tax.
Yep.
The Federal Reserve was created in 1913, and that very same year, the Constitution was amended to allow income tax. Do you really think this was just a coincidence?
So the Federal Reserve and the IRS were both created in the year 1913. Not a coincidence. That's when the scam started.
Ask yourself how much income tax you've paid over your lifetime. Much of it has been silently siphoned away into the hands of those who own the system. Yes, this system has owners. Who they are is an even bigger secret that we'll get to shortly. But first, we need to understand the mumbo-jumbo of the so-called debt ceiling. It's all based on a huge paradox. There was interest due on that bond, and there was interest due on every one of those loans that the banks made. That means that there is interest due on every dollar in existence. Let me ask you something. If you borrow the very first dollar into existence, and that's the only dollar that exists on the planet, but you promise to pay it back plus another dollar's worth of interest, where do you get the second dollar to pay the interest? The answer is that you have to borrow that one into existence and promise to pay it back with interest as well.
It never stops. It is a never-ending cycle. We are in a debt-based system. These banks have set up their systems to inevitably, continually, and exponentially grow our debt. And when our nation goes into debt through fiat currency, it completely devalues the purchasing power of the dollar, everything that you're working for. That's why I believe so wholeheartedly in gold, silver, real estate, and things of intrinsic value. This has been a wonderful show, guys. Thank you so much for sharing with me today. This video, Mike Maloney, the biggest scam in the history of mankind. It is, without a doubt, one of the most informative videos you will ever have the opportunity to check out in your life. The way that the Federal Reserve and the way that the big banks have this scam set up to steal purchasing power silently through inflation is... literally fraud. They're committing fraud. They're it's theft, it's fraud, it's everything that the system says we can't do, they are doing. So do some more research on this, guys. Put your money in assets that have stood through currency crises throughout history, like gold and silver. Just do some research, you know, understand the system that we're in, and prepare yourself for a currency collapse, you know? Just prepare yourself, get prepared, and put your money in places that will actually grow, that will actually preserve your wealth, all right? All the unconditional love, light, happiness, abundance, joy, and laughter from our hearts to yours. Thank you for tuning in to today's show on the Vibration Station. And thank you for always listening to LATalkRadio.com, world's most listened to internet talk radio station. All the love from my heart, guys. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at Good Vibes Station. Email me, Dave's Vibration Station at gmail.com. I love you guys. We'll see you next week. Peace!